Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend. The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
I'd like to discuss in this shir the halachic inyonim that come up in the sugya of shrotzim. The inyan of shrotzim seems rather straightforward. One can't eat bugs. How many? Which types of bugs have one lavin, two lavin, and three lavin? That's the subject of the mishnayos. But as we see from the sugyas, the inyonim of shrotzim have various halachic issues, and I'd like to discuss this in the context of the controversy some years ago in the water that they found had bugs in it in New York. As far as I understand, there were three different, what they found by checking in the water, the bugs were visible to the naked eye. There were three types of bugs, each ranging between 1.2 and 1.4 millimeters, which is not that small. It's not that big, but it's also not that small. 1.2 to 1.4 is definitely visible to the naked eye. You do not need a magnifying glass, and as we see, that will create a nafkamina la'alocha. The shaila is that anything that can't be seen to the visible eye, pipashtus, will not asur la'alocha, which is a klal that we find in various areas of halacha, and the poskim tell us le'nitna teru le'malachi asharis. Anything that can't be seen by the visible eye does not have a halachic status. For instance, a black dot which passes on an esrik or makes a problem on an esrik makes a not muhudur. If the black dot cannot be seen except with a magnifying glass, that will not pass an esrik. So those that check every esrik with a magnifying glass are not always justified. Very often esrikim are rendered pasul, and really la halacha there's no problem whatsoever. The older poskim in Yerushalayim do not use magnifying glasses. What is the point of a magnifying glass is if something is visible to the naked eye, but you can't see exactly what the scope of it is or what the nature of the problem is. For instance, if there's a dot on an esrik and you can't see if that creates a chosr, that you could see by carefully looking in a magnifying glass. So the same is really true of the water and the bugs. If the bugs are not big enough, if they're microscopic, and they're not big enough to be seen by the naked eye, then they will not asur leinit natoira lemalachi asharis. However, if they can be seen, with the naked eye, and here the poskim point out, this is a klal that the Darkei Tshuva, the classic Darkei Tshuva on Yeridei, Siman Pei Dalet, in the name of the Shoel Umeshiv, the Chassam Sefer Neor Chaim Kuf Lamed Beis, Legabe bugs on lettuce, which are one of the more common, well not today, because now we have, Baruch Hashem, we have the treated prepackaged lettuce, but in the good old days when you had to stand for a few hours on Erev Pesach and check the romaine lettuce for the Seder. So over there they say that the fact that somebody specifically can't see it will not render that bug not awesome. Meaning to say, if somebody with a good strong pair of eyes could pick out the bug, that will make the bug awesome even for somebody else who can't see it. Which is very important. Somebody has poor eyesight or even average eyesight and he can't see a bug, but somebody who has strong eyesight can see it, then the halacha is that we don't say le'nit neter le'malachi asharis. What I'm not sure about is if it can only be seen with strong eyeglasses, but look, our eyeglasses are not stronger than a good pair of eyes. A healthy, strong pair of eyes is always better than glasses, and if somebody with a strong pair of eyes can see a bug, then it is not considered to be in the realm of not being awesome because of le'nit neter le'malachi asharis. Another point that must be made is, if the bug cannot be seen, as was the case in the bugs of the water in New York, where they were able to be seen by a strong pair of eyes, but very often, depending on the color, the background color of the cup that held the water, because the bugs were almost transparent, they were not able to be seen, that will not be matter. If there's any way they can be seen, meaning to say, if you're holding it in a glass cup or in a plastic see-through cup, you can't see it. But if you would have, they say that if you would have a cup that would have a darkish background, it's not very dark, but not very light either, then against that backdrop, the bugs in the water were able to be seen, that would be considered visible to the naked eye. And in Cain, there is no heter. So far, to say that the bugs, because they're not visible, there's a heter of Lenitin Toel and Malachi Asher Sechor is inaccurate. To say that because they can't be seen because of their color is also inaccurate, being that you could see it if it's against the right color cup. What there is a mokum lodun in terms of not being able to see them is because when one sees these bugs in the water, one does not see the form, the outline of a bug. It looks keilu. It looks like a speck of rice or a speck of dust. In that case, is that called that the bug can be seen by the visible eye, or is that called that it can't be seen because it can't be seen as a bug? We don't really have a discussion of this in the poskim. L'chayr in the suffik deraisa, one should be machmir. When we're talking about drinking a cup of water with bugs in it, and the shayla is a bug where there's a suffix, if that's called visible because it can't be seen as a bug, k'moshu l'chayra, there would be a makom la'achmer l'chayra. Another issue that comes up in checking bugs, again, there might be other stodim lahakel with the water with the bugs. We might get to it. But as far as those svaras are concerned, there would not be a heter. Another shaila that comes up very often is, let's say the bugs, I don't know exactly what the percentage of how many cups, if you fill up 100 cups of water, how many of them will have the bugs in it and how many won't? That I don't know. But let's discuss on a theoretical level. If the shchichus, if the possibility of having the bug is not that high, what would be called high enough that you wouldn't be able to drink it? Now, if we could say that roiv of the water is not contaminated, roiv times when you pour yourself a cup of water from the faucet, from the tap, it will not be infested. That roiv, as is roiv b'chalatoykulu, would be matter, which is what we've been discussing in the previous shurim on treifis, that if roiv animals are not treif, then you do not have to check the internal organs for treifis. The same will be true of a cup of water or of any fruit or vegetable which has some type of possibility of being infested. If roiv of the fruit or the vegetable or the water is not infested, there will not be a chiyuv deraisa to check. One will not be over if he drinks midaraisa. However, midrabbanan, anytime it's a miyut hamotzi, the same way by sirchas areya, if there's a problem with lungs, there is somewhat of a possibility, a higher probability than other treifis in the having the lungs having a problem, and therefore we're mechuyev al pi halacha, it's kapaskin and shulchan aruch, that we check. The same is true any fruits or vegetables. You look in the books that come out now on checking bugs, there are three types of vegetables. There are types of vegetables that are heavily infested. We'll deal with that in Yetzer Hashem in a few minutes. Where we could say that roiv of that type have some type of probability of having bugs. There's the type where it's seldom infested, where midaraisa would be muta, midarabonon you mechuyev to check. And then there's the type of vegetable, the type of fruit, which almost never has a fruit. It's very seldom to find any type of infestation, any type of insects crawling around on those types of fruits and vegetables. No, but then there is no chiyev, even midarabonon. How much is considered miut hamotzer? What percentage will render the chiyev derabonon of checking for bugs? There is a Chuvus Rivosh that says there has to be karav l'mechza, even if it's not half, but the only time the chazal were misakin that you have to check is only when it's karav l'mechza. The Paiskin don't accept this suggestion of the Rivosh. What they do bring is a Mishkan Siakiv that talks about 10%. It's hard to say that there's a specific number, and sometimes, let's say with Sirchas Areya, it used to be less. I think today, because there's the hormones that they give animals, it's somewhat more than 10%. There's definitely a chiyuv midrabanan. The Mishkan es Yaakov himself offers an alternative, and this is the way Rav Vosner explains it, that there's no number that's cut and dry, that's etched in stone, 10%, 12%, 7%, 14%. Rather, the idea behind what Chazal and Misakin is that if it's known that this is the type of commodity, this product, or this type of fruit, or this type of water in this climate, when you find a bug, you wouldn't be surprised, then that says that if you drink the water with a bug, then you're not completely unaware that it might have a bug. Meaning to say, there are certain types of things where if you would find a bog, or there are certain type of treacherous, if you would open up an animal, and you would find that it has a puncture in the intestines, it's so rare as to be shocking. But if you open up an animal, you find that it has a problem with the lungs, that's part of the course. In every group of animals that you're going to open up, there will be a small percentage of animals that have a problem with the lungs. Therefore, you're behooved to check. Meaning to say, any time we could say that we know, we can anticipate, legitimately, again, it's not a specific number, but if every time we open up, we shecht 100 cows, there's a number of them that are treif because of a problem with the lungs, that says it's not a surprise to us. We're not surprised. If we're not surprised, then it's called something we can anticipate, and if we can anticipate that it will have a number of treifs, then we should anticipate, and then we're mechuyev to check with the rabbanim. So, very often this will be tali in the metzias. So again, it's very hard to be kaveh a number, a specific number. I understand that the bugs in the water in New York is not so rare, in which case that would not be a heter, not to check midirabonah. Again, Rav Osler talks about, he says that if in every laboratory, when they open up a selection of this type of fruit, or this type of drink, water, whatever the case is, they find bugs, then that's not a surprise. It's not, you're not shocked when you find in a date a bug. Why? Because every time you open up a whole bag of dates, let's say there's 100 bags, you'll find a few that are infested. Or every once in a while, you'll find, I don't know if you'll find a few in every bag, but every few bags, you'll find one that's in, a whole bunch that's infested. If that's the case, then it's not a surprise. Midrabbanan yumukhuyv. A person is a peshe if he doesn't check. A person is a peshe if he doesn't check to the point. Interesting. The Charedim ask Akasha, why not make a bracha on bidikas teloim? If it's a chiv derabbanan, then it should be a mitzvah derabbanan that you make a bracha. Obviously the answer is, that there is no mitzvah b'dikas teloim, as we've discussed in previous shiurim, the checking of the teloim is just a means of ensuring that they're kosher. The same way when you check an animal to see if it has split hoofs, you also don't make a bracha. Why? Because it's only a way of taking care that it's not that it's not non-kosher, that it's not infested. It's not a positive mitzvah act. Where shchita, even if it's only a matir, the act of shchita is a designated Maisa, that the Torah designated to be matir, the animal over there, we do make a bracha. This is a cloud that we, in Mitzvah Hashem, maybe we'll talk about more in a future date, when we make a bracha and when we don't. Another issue that has to be discussed is, let's say, when we boil the water. Let's assume that the water, kishal atzma, would be also to drink. What about boiling every cup? What does that help? That helps that when you boil the cup, the animal melts in the heat of the being cooked. Once it's melted, then it's not a barrier anymore. We know that there's an iser, a barrier does not become bottle. A barrier is a whole live creature. Once that the Chazal say that a barrier does not become bottle, the Gemara discusses later on in Perek dealing with Taruvis, in Perek Giranosha, that certain things that are choshev do not become bottle. A whole bug does not become bottle, even if there's much more heter than iser. However, once the bug dissolves and it's melted, so then there's only pieces of the bug, then l'chayra there should be bittul. So l'chayra, it would help to cook the water. Ah, you might ask, those that know that there's a klal taruvis, ein mevatel is l'chatchila. Why would we be safe cooking the water and not checking it if we know that there's a certain amount of water that's infested? How would we be matter that by cooking it? L'chayra, we're being mevatel the bug by getting rid of it. The Teretz is, since we don't know in this cup of water that there is a bug, there is no issur of mevatel l'chatchila. This is only a problem if we know that if we put, let's say, put a piece of treif meat into a kosher pot and then cook it in, that there's shishim that amount. So being that we know there's treif meat inside, that's called we will mevatel the issur to the heter. Chazal asked us eating the meat. Chazal gave a knas midrabbanan, even if midaraisa the kosher meat is mevatel, there is, so still we are not allowed to eat it. However, if we don't know that in this cup of water there is a bug, even if there's a certain amount of bugs in every once in a while there is bugs in the water, but if in this cup or in this piece of water, so to speak, we don't know that there's a bug, so then we can't consider that we're knowingly being mevatel a known iser l'chatchila. Therefore, it would not have that iser. So therefore, besides for checking, another heter would be l'chayra, cooking the water, there would not be a problem of bittul isurim. In another vein, besides for the shilas that we're discussing, binagia, the water being infested, let's discuss something else. Let's say somebody cooked. Shadow comes up every once in a while. Somebody didn't know that a certain vegetable is heavily infested. There's cauliflower, there's artichoke, there are other vegetables that are considered becheskas mituloim. Becheskas that they are infested. Generally, if you don't check, you will find, if you do check, you will find a bug, and therefore it's awesome. Obviously these vegetables are not as popular by Frum Yidin. Now that the bug awareness is up, these vegetables are not as popular to be eaten as they used to be. Some of them are actually quite healthy, which is a shame. In any case, let's say a person doesn't know about the need to check, and then he cooks a entire meat dish with such a vegetable. Does it aser the whole dish? There's different stuff in the hakel. Now, let's first talk about for a second, if somebody would eat such a vegetable raw, a person picks up a piece of lettuce, romaine lettuce, and he knows that the possibility of it being infested is high. A person eats that vegetable. Is he over an issur d'oraisa? Look, he wasn't trying to eat a bug, but he knows that there might very well be a bug. Let's assume there's rove times on a piece of lettuce is a bug, but he didn't mean to eat a bug. Is that called he's amazed? So there's an interesting psak halacha from the Tshuvas Shivas Tzion, which is the Tshuvas of the Aruch Lener, and the Beis Ephraim, one of the classic Tshuvas from 200 years ago, from the Doer of Kivegi and the Ktsois and the Sivis. And the Beis Ephraim and the Shivas Tzion say, a chiddush, they say that if a person eats a pre-mitula, a person eats a fruit or a vegetable which is infested, and he's not aware that there's a bug there, even though he knows that it might be infested, and he ate it. They say not only is he not amazed, he's a shaykh, but they call him a misasik. Misasik is an idea that we find in Hilchos Shabbos, where a person, not that he forgot that it's Shabbos, or not that he doesn't know that a specific act is prohibited because of Melechus Shabbos. He does something, and he doesn't realize that what he's doing creates a melacha effect. The Marshal, the Gemara gives a case, a person pulls up a piece of grass, and he thinks he's pulling up a piece of grass which is toilosh, which is not mechuber, which is already off the ground. Really, he's pulling it out of the ground. So there we say that it's not osam midaraisa, it's only osam midarabonim, because the act that he wished to commit is not the act, which is a malacha daraisa. So because he was not aware, at a certain level, he was not aware, of course, the physical activity that he did of picking up the piece of grass he wanted to do. But the chiddush of misasik is that if he didn't want the significance of the act, he didn't want the malacha of that act of picking up the piece of grass, then it's not a malacha d'oraisa. Not only is it not amazing, it's not a shoygeg either, it's a misasik. It's the rabbanu, which would help us in our shayla b'di'evet once it was cooked, which we'll get to. This is the Shiva Sin and the Beis Ephraim say the same is true if a person eats an infested vegetable with a bug. He's not over on an Issa D'oraisa. Why? Because since he's not aware that in his Achila there's a bug, that's called a Misasi. Other Achranim on the Fakbuk, they say it's hard to accept this premise. When a person picks up a piece of grass, by nature, if he doesn't realize he's uprooting the grass, what he meant to do and what he did is two different things. In terms of Melech Shabbos, what he meant to do and what he did have absolutely nothing to do with each other. One is picking up a piece of grass, one is uprooting, one is being toilish a piece of grass. Mashengen, eating is eating. You knew you were eating the fruit. The fact that you didn't know that part of the fruit was also a little friendly bug on the top doesn't change the essence of what you're doing. You know that you're eating a fruit, and you know that fruit could be infested. Are you amazed? No, so you're a shaykh. But a shaykh is a full ma'aseh aveira. It's not a derabbanan. Shoygig, a person b'chal Shabbos b'shoygig, or any other very b'shoygig, he's considered a dim naver. It's b'shoygig. He has to bring a korban chatos. Misasik is not even a melacha d'oraisa, and there's a very big difference in the b'di'evet. If it was cooked already, are we talking about the moshul? If we're mevatel the issa l'chatchila, there might be a heter of bitl issa l'chatchila and issa d'rabbanan. Because if a person eats that vegetable, if we assume that the eating of the vegetable would only be an issur d'rabbanan, because when he eats it, he doesn't know that it's infested, and now that it's all cooked together, he can't see it. So if he cooked it l'chatchila, he was only being mevatel an issur d'rabbanan, according to the Beis Ephraim, the Shiva Tzion. But if we accept the objection of the Achronim against these gedolim, then we say that eating a vegetable where you know that it's infested, it's heavily infested, is a malacha deraisa. Might only be a shoygik, but it's not a malacha deraisa. It's an issa deraisa. It's an issa deraisa. To cook it would render it also to eat, because that would be considered mevatlan issa lechatchila. This is a very important distinction. Again, if it's a issa deraisa of shoygeg and eating the bug because you know that it's infested and you're considered that you willingly did the act of eating, then the being mevatel lechatchila the bug by cooking the food together, by cooking the artichoke together with the steak, will be considered mevatel lechatchila, will be asur to eat. If we say that it's only an issur derabbanan, as the Zakarenim say, so then we'll tell ourselves that it's not mevatel issur lechatchila of an issur deraisa. In many cases, mevatel issur lechatchila is mutter when we're only dealing with the severity of an issur derabbanan. It's interesting. Somebody just told me about a case. Maybe we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem one of the later shurim b'negeya bas v'cholo about a woman who cooked together many chicken cutlets together with a frying pan that was a ben yoimoy, milchik ben yoimoy. And over there the shaila was in taking those cutlets and throwing them, chopping them to pieces and throwing them into another pot with a lot of other ones that were not awesome. The shaila mevatel issur lechatchila, and over there also, since we're dealing with chicken cutlets, the issur of basar cholov ba'oif is only midrabbanan, there would not be a problem of mevatlin issur lechatchila. This is Reb Akiva Eger in Hilchos Taruvos, talks about this extensively. That in the issur derabbanan there is no mevatlin issur lechatchila. Just to get back to the bugs for a second, one more important svara is discussed in our sugyas. The sugyas HaGemara, Dav Samach Vav, Dav Samach Zayin, is discussed the inyan of Sheretz HaOif, or Sheretz HaPeiros, the Sheretz HaOif or Sheretz HaOretz, where they're in fruits. So the Gemara says that we learn that Kol Sheretz HaShoyretz, that the Sheretz only becomes Aser once it has an independent identity and it's been already outside of the tree. And this is true by bugs that were formed and born inside the intestines of a fish. Today it's very common to find infested fish, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where the fish is not as fresh. They find the infestation in the fridge. And there's a whole shilas, which type of bugs grew in the fish would be mutter. Which type of bugs were from the outside, were swallowed by the fish, in which case they already asked for the fish once they came in, because it's already considered sheretz hasheretz. It's true in fruit also. There's a whole big tumult in the Gedolei Achrayim of 200, 150 years ago. There were certain types of bugs that did not leave the fruit, but they had a space to live independently in the gumois, in the holes of the fruit, in the crevices of the fruit. Meaning to say they crawled, but they only crawled inside the fruit. Would that render them sheretz hasheretz, or would that be considered part of the fruit? What's the shaila? L'chayre, the shaila is how we understand the longness of this heter. It's Gzeres HaKosov, of course. Abavosh Teitin Gzeres HaKosov. What is the Torah teaching us by saying that a bug which is inside the fruit is different than a bug that's outside the fruit? There are two ways of understanding this. One way is to say that since the Torah says sheretz hasheretz, a bug is not only the physical mitzius of a bug, the bug itself, even though we know that bugs are machal sasus, and machal sasus are metantim salev, but still the Gzeres HaKosev defines when and where the issur takes place. And the issur is only when it's sheretz hasheretz, only when it has an independent identity, as crawling around it has to be hasheretz. If it's inside the fruit, it was not yet sheretz, it was not yet, did not have an ability to crawl, fly, or creep around. Therefore, it's not awesome. It's one way. A bug it is, however, since it's not cruel, it does not have the isser of shrotzen. Oidilma, a second way of explaining this isser, is to say that, of course, a bug is a bug is a bug. It doesn't make a difference if it crawled or not. But if it didn't crawl, by definition, it's still part of the fruit. It's like a semi-svara of bittle of sorts. The same way this bittle of tray for meat, where it's rendered insignificant in a large pot of kosher meat. A bug, which is part of the fruit to the extent that it didn't have an independent, didn't have any locomotive abilities, was not able to crawl or walk around, is considered part of the fruit, it's bottom to the fruit, and therefore it's mutter. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is something that we just said. If we say that the problem is there's a t'nai that when there's a sheretz become also when it's sheretz hashoyreitz, if it has the ability to walk around, even if it's inside the fruit, l'chay, it should be awesome. However, if we say the vort is that it's part of the fruit, ma'ititachin, that even if it's in the crevice of a fruit, it's walking around and it's enjoying its independence, but since it's in the fruit, it's surrounded by the fruit, it's part of the fruit, so it's still bottled to the fruit, does not have an issue. This is a shaila, l'chayre, the achronim's hachro is to be machmir. Another nachkemina of this would be legabi the shaila of the water. Others want to say that if a person takes the cup of water, when he drinks the water, the bugs are in the water, the bugs never crawled out, the bugs were full. There are certain types of bugs at least. I don't know if these are if the ones in New York have this description, but there are certain bugs which are bred, formed, and hatched in the water itself. L'chayrit should not have the status of a sheretz ha-sheretz because it was never independently free of the water. However, when a person drinks water, it's quite natural that the water, being a liquid, slides down, and the bugs, being somewhat more of a solid, stick to a person's tongue. And then the person swallows, and the bugs go off his tongue down into his stomach. Would that be awesome? So it depends how we look. If we say, this is the way the Achronim speak it out, if we say that the point is that the bugs have to be part and parcel of the fruit, they have to be bottled to the fruit. So lamaisa, the heter of drinking the bugs is only with the water, only if they're part of the water. If they stick to the person's tongue, and then he swallows them down independently, the chayr, it should be awesome. But if we say that they have to have an independent identity, since lamaisa they were never able to crawl around because even after the water goes down, still they're sliding down. They never crawled around. They never had an identity, a space, a living space of their own. There would be mutter. So l'chayr, the right thing to do is to be machmir. So again, to talk about the bugs in terms of not being able to see them, if the bug is visible to a healthy, strong pair of eyes, it's awesome. We discussed the shayla of cooking it, the shayla of mevatlos l'chatchila. We brought different examples. We discussed also bugs being again mevatlos l'chatchila in a meat dish where it was cooked together. Would that be considered the cooking? Would it be considered mevatlos l'chatchila or not? What is how do we define the severity of the iser of eating something which is infested? Is it a shogig? Is it a misasik? Nafkamina v'tz d'oraisa d'rabbanan. And we discussed also the shaila of the bugs as growing, as being ribise of the water, being part of the water. What would the halakhic parameters of that had to be? Something, a type of bug that's in the crevices of the fruit, as well as in the water where the bug is, might go down into the person's stomach separately from the water, but lamaisa, they, even if it's not bottled to the water, but still never had a crawling space to be called sheretz or sheretz. These are all shilas that come up in one way or another in different shilas every once in a while where they find something that's infested or studded, lekan or lekan, that have to be considered.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.